The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, the Chancellor's budget is centre stage for the oil and gas industry. We hear from key players about the outcome. And buses help Aberdeen lead the hydrogen energy revolution. But first, a major event on shale gas is coming to Aberdeen later this month. New technologies designed to support the sector in the UK will be on display at the Unconventional Gas 2014 conference, taking place at the AECC on the 25th and 26th of March. Service companies such as Schlumberger and Halliburton are among the exhibitors taking part. An Aberdeen travel agent says there's been unprecedented demand for the Offshore Technology Conference in Houston. More than 100,000 people from around the world are expected in Texas for the event in May. Munro's Travel says tickets have been snapped up more quickly this year than ever before. The City Council this week jointly launched a new online game in Aberdeen focusing on energy and sustainable living. Energy City, which is aimed at primary 5 to 7 pupils, is designed to teach children about reducing fuel bills and improving the environment. It's in cooperation with charity Scarf. The project's already been trialled at one school, with plans now to roll it out further. Shell has made a discovery of oil off the coast of Malaysia. It was made during a joint appraisal of the Limbayong 2 well with Petronas off the coast of Sabah. The firm now plans to conduct more work to determine the recoverable value. A new database is being created for wells and completions reliability in the oil and gas sector. Firms ITF and Tullow Oil are jointly working on the project and want more operators to join them. Their aim is to tackle issues relating to safety and efficiency in well integrity. It involves creating a global library of well data, which will give users accurate and reliable information about well types. A Scottish energy firm reported pre-tax losses of £660 million. The figure for Cairn Energy for 2013 is up from £116 million the previous year. It's after various unsuccessful drilling projects for the company, with a well this week in Morocco proving to be dry. The North Sea energy industry was this week keeping a close eye on Westminster as Chancellor George Osborne unveiled his budget. Speaking to me in advance of the announcement, Ian Williams, Chairman of Accountants Campbell Dallas, laid out some of the priorities for the North East.
I think bearing in mind that there's a major problem at the moment of a lack of investment and a willingness to invest in the North Sea, and I think with the possible railing back on these carbon taxes, he may well provide a bit of a shot in the arm, who knows, in advance of independence, he may well even give some incentives for oil and gas, particularly gas production, because if the emphasis is going to move away from carbon taxes, he will want to make sure the lights don't go out, and on that basis he will probably give some incentives to have increased gas production so that the generating capacity can be met, because I think everybody's worried at the moment about the lights going out. We need to have sensible pricing structures so far as generation is concerned, and I think anybody in the generating sector outside renewables is now thinking long and hard as to whether they wish to invest in the UK. So anything to actually reduce the carbon taxes may actually give the green light to give rise to more energy infrastructure, particularly on the generating side. So, you know, from Aberdeen's perspective, from Aberdeenshire perspective, not bad if you're in conventional, probably less good going forward if you're into renewables, I think must be the answer there.
This is the Chancellor's last budget until September's independence referendum.
Yes.
Can we expect a particular focus on the issues that are maybe impacting Scotland at the moment compared with the rest of the UK?
Well, I would have said he's not going to hurt anything. But that said, what he is going to do is with the increase in the personal allowances, and I think he ought to be, again, pushing the SME sector. That's a very, very important sector as far as Scotland is concerned. I don't think there are going to be any major giveaways as far as Scotland is concerned. But that said, I don't expect anybody to be punished. So it's difficult to know. I can't second guess that.
When it came to the budget itself, the Chancellor warned North Sea oil and gas receipts were predicted to fall by £3 billion next year. He says the UK economy is set to go into surplus in 2018-19, but he's warning the cuts must continue with a cap on welfare spending. Mr Osborne says Scotland is better off in the UK.
The Scottish economy is doing well and jobs are being created, but this is a reminder of how precarious the budget of an independent Scotland would be. These further downgrades in the tax receipts would leave independent Scotland with a shortfall of £1,000 per person. Britain is better together. The North Sea is a mature basin, and the OBR have today revised down the forecast tax receipts by a further £3 billion over the period.
The SNP have questioned the Chancellor's figures. Responding to the budget speech, Labour leader Ed Miliband warned it would make the rich richer and the poor work harder. He said it was a budget for millionaires, describing them as the Chancellor's chums.
This recovery's not working for working people whose living standards are falling. It's not working for millions of women who see the gap between men and women's pay rising. It's not working for low-paid people. We don't need a party for the privileged few, we need a party for the many. That is why a Labour government will freeze energy bills, guarantee jobs for unemployed young people, cut business rates, reform the banks, get 200,000 homes built a year, and abolish the bedroom tax.
A number of tax reliefs were unveiled for the oil and gas industry, however, including for investment in high-pressure, high-temperature fields. Oil and Gas UK says it's pleased the Chancellor supporting recommendations from the Wood Report, including the creation of a new regulator for the industry. They add, however, they are perplexed by the move to change the basis for taxation of drilling rigs and accommodation vessels. Mike Tolan's the organisation's economics director.
Well, my initial reflections are very much a positive one, that the Chancellor is focusing on the potential and the opportunity for the North Sea and clearly wants to work with the industry to deliver that.
Now, we also know about the Wood Report and the UK government support so far. The Chancellor's, what he's been saying, in line with the support you've had so far from the UK government?
I think the Chancellor gave ringing endorsement of the Wood Review today, and more so because we're now aware that the Treasury is willing to provide the interim funding to make sure that we get the new regulator in place and is clearly anxious to see it deliver as part of a fundamental review of the UK's offshore tax regime.
We obviously saw a few years ago the Chancellor perhaps not singing from the same hymn sheet, if you will, with the industry. What do you think has changed between the relationship between the industry and ministers at Westminster?
I think a much longer and deeper relationship, because they understand quite how great the opportunities are and how difficult it is to get many of these out of the North Sea. You know, we saw, 3 weeks ago was it now, the Prime Minister even going offshore and seeing himself firsthand the opportunities and the challenges of working in a North Sea environment.
The Chancellor is saying in his budget that they expect receipts from North Sea oil to go down by a fair amount. I mean, does that concern Oil and Gas UK at the moment?
No, it's dreadful for tax for trade association. I have to say they like to see tax receipts go up, but I think we're of one mind. You know, we want to see an active and a productive industry. When one looks, though, the thing that is driving tax receipts down at the minute more than anything is the rate of investment and the cost of operations in the North Sea. So we know things are expensive to do, but we want to sustain investment, which is essential for the future.
And do you feel that you'll be given that help now from this budget?
I think it's a first step. What we're keen to do is have a good conversation with the Exchequer about how the new tax regime they're talking about evolves. And we also want to engage with the Exchequer on some of the other measures, not least the bareboat charter measure, which will have some cost to the industry as well.
What potentially could this changing of the taxation model do for the oil and gas industry?
Well, the Chancellor announced today that they're looking at a fundamental review of the fiscal regime, and that may well send a very, if we get it right, send a very strong signal that the UK is, in his words, open for business, and that we really want to attract investment not just from current companies, but for bring new companies in to pursue the opportunities in the North Sea. And I hope, as we have many assets, not just new ones, but many old assets in the North Sea, that we can make sure that these are around for longer and more productive as a result, because it's not just the tax they pay, it's the oil and gas they produce and it's the jobs they provide which are good for the UK economy.
There's a lot of talk ahead of this budget that there would be no huge surprises in contained within it. Is this very much as the Oil and Gas UK expect it to be?
I think so, though maybe with a slightly silver lining of I think, a very constructive proposal to talk with us about the long-term fiscal regime, and clearly a strong conviction that the proposals in the Wood Review are good for the UK and good for the industry, and we're all of one mind on that.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Final approval was this week given for the world's third largest offshore wind farm off the Moray Firth coast. Developers plan to build more than 300 turbines, capable of powering over 1 million homes. The project will create at least 5,000 jobs. The first of Europe's largest fleet of hydrogen buses have arrived in the northeast, part of the Aberdeen Hydrogen Bus Project. The vehicles have been delivered to Stagecoach Bluebird and First. City Council leader Barney Crockett told my colleague Joe Odbert they'll be better for the environment and help the city's growing hydrogen industry.
I'm sitting in the very first hydrogen bus to come to the area. I think it's the first of what will be Europe's biggest fleet of hydrogen buses. And it's an enormous step forward for the city, a great achievement for everybody involved.
Just tell us then what people are going to notice that's going to be different about these buses in Aberdeen.
Well, I don't know. The noticeability will just be, first of all, they're an incredibly smart, modern bus, and I think that'll be, you know, mainly what they will notice. But for the wider impact, it will have no pollution effect at all. And so for everybody in Aberdeen, that's going to be a big plus. We face some problems in the city centre just with how busy the city is, with the levels of some pollutants. And so this will be a huge help to make us hit targets and make it a, you know, perfect city for the people.
And how pioneering is this on the world stage?
Well, as you say, it's absolutely, you know, world leading. I think we'll have Europe's biggest fleet of hydrogen buses. I think you know, companies like Shell are proposing that hydrogen will be a major part of the world economy to come. Aberdeen's right at the forefront of it, so it has a big impact on our transport. But also it brands us as a city that's miles ahead of others in energy, but also in innovation and taking ideas forward for the city of the future.
And what's the timescale for getting these out on the streets?
Well, I think that they're working on I think it will be a very short time before autumn we should be having them on the streets in Aberdeen.
Right. Do they have to get tested first to try them out?
Yeah, they're doing. There's a whole lot of things they have to go through. All sorts of things have to be done beforehand. So it takes this is world leading. This is a landmark project, so there is to be quite a bit of work done on it.
OMV's agreed a deal to buy 4 licences west of Shetland from Hess. The initial value of the transaction said to be $50 million, though it could rise by an extra $30 million. The deal remains subject to approval from the UK government. A major event was this week held in Aberdeen focusing on asset integrity management in the North Sea. The Asset Integrity Management in Oil and Gas Conference took place at Norwood Hall on Thursday and Friday. Some of the issues discussed included the challenges faced by the sector in corrosion and also the health and safety factors which need to be considered. Q&A events and panel discussions also took place. Students at RGU have been getting expert advice from some of the oil and gas industry's top figures. Pupils on the university's MBA Oil and Gas Management course heard from the regional president of BP, among others, at a special series of seminars. Topics included joint venturing in the North Sea and reservoir development. And rounding off the week, 700 jobs could be created in the North Sea thanks to a tax break for 2 oil and gas fields. One of the new allowances for investment in certain kinds of reserves was announced in the budget on Wednesday. Operators of the Culzean and Jackdaw areas, Maersk and BG Group, will get some of their costs back if the projects go ahead. Don't forget, for all the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Gregsy at Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.